Well, everyone, as I mentioned earlier, our brother Graham's going to be giving us a class tonight under the title Turn to Me and Be Saved. So an interesting topic. Our reading tonight, which is from John 16, and we're just looking at the reading of verses 32 and 33. So John 16, verses 32 and 33. So that reading then is an introduction to our brother Graham to speak to us on the subject Turn to Me and Be Saved. Thank you, Graham.
Thank you, Brother Joe. Graham Parcell here, and it's lovely to be with you all. And thanks to Joe and also to Ben for helping with the setup. I hope you can hear me okay. It's a bit of a strange one. I can say confidently this is the first talk I've given with my slippers on. Now, on the screen, those who can see it, there's a little brass figurine of the three wise monkeys. I've had this little tiny brass ornament on my desk here for many decades. I can't remember where it came from, but it just reminded me of tonight, because there are some of you who can hear me and see me. There are some of you who can just hear me and I can't see or hear you. So I feel like I'm not even a monkey on there, because I can't see anything. But I hope that we'll all be able to share and enjoy and be spiritually uplifted by the things that that we have before you. And I must say, I'm not prone to nerves giving talks, but I'm probably more nervous just speaking to my computer than I normally am, because there's absolutely no interaction or feedback. So I'll just have to pretend that on occasions you're laughing or frowning, because obviously most of it will be. It's a very serious subject. We're going to be talking about some of the aspects in our current world. So we can see that there's a lot happening in our world. And so my original subject was who can be saved. I didn't really feel able to answer that one, although we know all those who put their faith in God. Now, what a wonderful picture there, that if you can imagine that God has the whole world in his hands. And we feel that at the moment, don't we? Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there's no other. And man has made many gods for himself, and we'll touch upon that as we go through. So if you're like me, I'm sure that you are following every twist and turn of this whole scenario. For us, there's some lovely texts and messages coming through, not now, but we have been over the last few weeks, with particularly the two Allies. Ali Mason in particular has been giving us some wonderful thoughts and some great questions. And so we'd encourage anybody to take part in that. As I said, we're looking at things very, very clearly, I think. Interestingly, in Mark 4, we're told, aren't we, that the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to us. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they may turn and be forgiven. Now, we haven't got time to go into it, but it's not God being unfair. It's a bit like, I think, when Pharaoh hardened his heart, there had to come a point where God said, look, I'm speaking to you through Jesus, through all these parables, but you don't seem to get it. And hopefully we are a contrast to that, because aren't those beautiful eyes, by the way? They're like Jenny's. We speak, and we are speaking the same language on the WhatsApp group and in our discussions on the telephone. And it's wonderful. There's so many dimensions to this. We're not going to do it justice tonight, but I've had a ball just going through some of the funny messages some of the funny things out there. But also we're in very, very sad times as well, aren't we? Charles Dickens, who was renamed Dahl's Chickens by Roald Dahl, spoke, I think this is in Hard Times. For those that are listening online, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going, and so it goes on. But just a little bit of a balance there of the lightness and the darkness. So on a lighter mode, we've gone back in time a little bit, haven't we? Around the world, the pace has slowed down considerably. That's Wall Street in New York there, as you can see. And things have gone back a bit, haven't they? Gone back in time. People have gone rural as well. All around the world, people are going back to the land. There's Hans Otto von Ullmann, known to his friends as Steve, named after his cousin in Adelaide, Steve Hauser, on the Hauser side of the family. And he works the land in Switzerland. What a place to be isolated. We have had the brands of the world just reinventing themselves. Nike have rebranded to Just Don't Do It. MasterCard, their red and yellow dots have been separated. Social distancing. Mobil, the French oil company, have become immobile. And we've certainly seen that with the oil price going down to zero on Monday, I think it was. And then, of course, the classic and Corona, the beer. And by the way, the Corona beer guy, when he died, gave $2 million to each villager from his original village in Spain before he moved to Mexico to pioneer what he probably would be turning in his grave, the Corona brand. So, of course, all the pundits have come out and said that it's a new name extra instead of Corona extra. We are due, are we not, or we were due to have the Olympics. The last one was in 2016. And that's probably my favourite one there, where even the rings of the rings of the Olympics, the blue, the black, the red, the yellow and the green rings are separated instead of interconnected. Now, whilst we're on the subject of the Olympics, on the right there, you'll see is what, when this is deadly serious, of course. On the right-hand side, we see, on the right and the left, we see the US at the States. For those on listening on the telephone, on the left, I have all the countries listed and the cases of the coronavirus and how many deaths. At the top is the US with, this was this morning, 45,340. Spain, 21,000 deaths. Italy, 24,000. Down to the UK, 17. Wow, that's going up. And then right down, and we're pleased to be at the bottom of this table. We would like to be at the top on the right-hand side. We're number 10 on the medals table for the 2016 Summer Olympics, which was not bad, punching above our weight there. But you see number two, Great Britain in there, just to throw that one in. But on the left-hand side, we would gladly take that. I mean, we do have to thank God and thank our government that we are right down the order. 6,647 cases of coronavirus, and we've had 74 deaths. If one of those deaths was in your family, then that's life-changing for you. So we're not in any way diminishing the impact that would have upon those 74 families and friends. But, you know, we are very blessed to be in this country, in this current environment. We still have to get it into context. There are 7.7 billion people in the world and 2.6 million people have been infected. And there are, at the moment, I think it's 178,000 deaths. Nearly 700,000 people have recovered. But it has absolutely impacted the world in so many ways, and it has put a lot of fear into the environment we live. So you might say, has God spared Australia? Well, I think he has. If you imagine that in the US, where they've had 47 from that previous slide, 47,000 deaths, sometimes up to around 740 deaths per day, Australia has had 10% of that in total over the last 3 months. What a contrast. Now, our world has been going it alone for quite some time now. Most people have not asked for any help from God, Christians aside, obviously. We have some very clever scientists who are worshipped probably more than God. We have some very clever technologists who are really coming into their own now, and we do benefit from them. And we benefit very much from medical science, and we'll touch upon that later. As we speak, the medical science facilities and the vaccine makers are working overtime, and we're pleased about that, aren't we? So we're going it alone, though, individually. We have been as countries, as a world, but also individually. We're more alone and isolated than we were with social distancing, aren't we? And this one particularly caught my eye. It's a little Kermit-type frog. And it says, when you're a hugger and you're not allowed to hug people because of COVID-19. And the little frog is looking rather sad. I work from home. I work from this very office. So for me, it's business as usual, or lack of business as usual. Anyway. Now, you will know, I'm sure, that the national distress call, which has to be repeated 3 times to legitimise it, is Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. That's what ships say when they're in trouble, and that's what aeroplanes say when they're in trouble, where they've lost an engine or they're going to go down. As you know, I'm sure, it comes from the French, me help, help me, Mayday, Mayday. And there's the wonderful psalm, isn't it, that we have been pulled out of the miry clay. The irony, I think, is that God sent this virus because there are times, Genesis 11 is one of them, and we're going to come onto that later on, where men are saying nothing will be impossible. So he sent something that's almost impossible to challenge us, to preoccupy us, as a decoy, Jenny said today, good word for it, to slow us up, to show us who is really in control, to show us how fragile we are. And dare I say it, we're used to using the word humble, but to humble us. The world is being humbled. The world is being brought to its knees by the virus when we should be getting on our knees in prayer to God, shouldn't we? And of course, when God said, is anything going to be too hard for them in Genesis 11? The ironic thing was not they couldn't do everything, they thought they could, but the irony is that God can do everything, but nothing is impossible for God. So we have this balance, if you like, in our lives of being self-reliant or God-reliant. And you'll remember in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 9 on the screen there that Paul said, we felt, this is after all of the persecution that he and the other apostles had. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And a similar one in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, one of my favorite ones. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So that's what we need to do, isn't it? To rely more upon God and less on self. And we are being caused to do that at the moment, aren't we? Now, you remember that famous aeroplane, that wonderful pilot. I forget his name, but he's such a character. He said that behind him in the plane, he realized he had, whatever it was, nearly 200 lives at stake, and he managed, that was his motivation, he managed to land the plane successfully on the icy cold waters of the Hudson River. Well, with us, we, without Christ, we are drowning men and women, aren't we? But we have to say, Mayday, Mayday, we have to put the distress call out to God for him to be able to help and aid us. Now, the interesting thing is that we were talking there about man and woman, men and women needing to reach out and make contact with, if it's a disaster, the air traffic control for Mayday, but in a spiritual sense, reaching forward to God with our hands. Interesting that the Domino's pizza company, a very successful pizza company, they are offering zero contact delivery. I don't know what they do. Maybe they sort of throw them at the garden. But the idea is for no hands to touch contactless payment or payment on the internet. So zero contact. Now, we've sort of brought this upon ourselves because we are heading a little bit more towards a zero contact world. We've got antisocial media, which is all designed to help us, but makes us less likely to see each other face to face. We have robots. There was a desal plant yesterday turning, obviously, seawater into fresh water that Jenny and I saw in Israel. Two people run that whole plant, which provides fresh drinking water for so many people. Two people running one water plant. And we are looking towards, I'm not looking forward to it, but we're looking towards driverless vehicles and driverless trucks. Why? I don't know, because it's going to take what few jobs there are out there away from people. So to an extent, automation and technology and robotics and artificial intelligence have led us to this point. What a contrast, brethren, sisters, and young people, with the Lord God, who has been fully involved with his creation. Looking at a slide now for those on the telephone, on the bottom at the left, we have the hand of the thief on the cross. And I thought to myself today, wouldn't it be wonderful if he had a name, which he did, but wouldn't it be wonderful if that was shared with us? However, he represents all those who would reach out their hands, as he is doing on the picture, upwards to the nailed right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so by contrast with us and our non-contact world, God has always been fully involved with us, his creation. For God so loved the world that he made 100% contact with it through his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's the wonderful contact. What a contrast with the zero contact. And we can see why they're doing it, and I'm not criticizing them, but the zero contact of Domino's and others like them, and yet the 100% commitment and contact from the Lord God in providing his Son for our sins. Now, I'd just like to read you some verse. This is fully up to date, this verse. This is the Parcelli authorized version from Luke 13. And it's entitled in my Bible, Repent or Perish, from Jesus' day. Now, there were some present that at that time told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them. Or the 200,000 people who died of the coronavirus in 2020. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. Here's the point. But unless you repent, you too will perish. So unless we make contact with God, we have no hope. in a world where shops and businesses are stopping and planes are on the tarmac, God is there 24/7 when the world is shutting down. So how did we get here? Well, we're going back to that chapter, Genesis 11, we referred to at the moment. This was man's last major attempt, a couple of thousand years BC and more, at his last attempt at the global village in Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. And think about this up to date. I know I've mentioned it before and so have others, but think about this as a summary of our world at the moment. Now, the whole world has one language and a common speech. As people move eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves, for our selfies. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down. Is he doing it again? The Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And the Lord said, and this is the Lord God who can do anything and knows everything in advance, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." And our world has not progressed as far as it might have done. And my goodness, it has progressed incredibly since those times. Imagine if everyone spoke the same language. But they do. They speak the language of computers. We've almost got to think backwards in this whole scenario, haven't we? God seems to have wanted us to scale down, the nations to be reset. He seems to have wanted to put a lid on globalization, a slowing of economic activity, a weakening of man's rule, preparing the world for the next step. In a sense, we are seeing a resetting of who is really important. And coming to the top of the pile are nurses and retail workers and all our medical specialists, and soon to be added to that list, I'm sure, and there'll be heroes and heroines are the vaccine researchers. Sorry, just had that one. Oh, where am I going? Sorry, I think we went backwards then. So what man has been doing, and again, the only way these words in Proverbs 3 are going to have full impact upon us, like the verses that relate to the Pharisees and any other groups who are called to task, the only way we're going to feel the impact is to say, in what way am I, Graham, not trusting in the Lord at the moment with all my heart? And am I leaning upon my own understanding? I have to say, in favour of our sisters and females in general, I think you are better at trusting in God than we are. Do not be wise in your own eyes, he goes on to say. Fear the Lord and shun evil. And this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. That's interesting, isn't it? Now, whilst we're on the subject of sisters, my lovely wife, Jenny, I've seen these before. I'm going to try and be fancy here and see. Oh, yeah, there we are. If you can see this yellow circle here, one there, one there, one there, that the gardeners among you will know that these are called tendrils. See them going right up there? And those tendrils hook onto anything to support the vine. This one's in our back garden. Not much grows in our garden, but my new lawn, which I planted, by the way, with my own fair hands. This is one of the other things that's growing in our garden. I love it, this lovely vine, the beautiful colours of the leaves at the moment. But these hook on for grim death, these tendrils. I've cut some off in the past, so Sorry, Mr. Vine. And they're still actually curled around the downpipe of our gutters. They're dead, but they're still wrapped tightly round. It's amazing. I've seen that before, but of course, my wife pointed out the spiritual significance. So if she's watching, thank you, Jenny. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is where we need to place ourselves, particularly in these times. And what Jenny mentioned, which is a great point, is those tendrils, they hook onto the surface, be it another part of the vine or part of a downpipe or another plant, and they're stuck there for good. Now, we need to do that, of course, with the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, you and me, don't we? Now, I think this was Ali Mason, Sister Ali Mason, who I referred to earlier. And she put this wonderful handwritten, and I'm not sure if that's your thumb there, but she said, those who leave everything in God's hands will eventually see God's hands in everything. Those who leave everything in God's hands will eventually see God's hands in everything. So thanks for that, Ali. Keep them coming. That was wonderful. Very powerful, very strengthening, and very helpful. Now, Jesus said these encouraging words as he encouraged the disciples when he was to leave them he was resurrected, he wasn't resurrected this time, but he was telling them he was going to die and to be raised and go away for a time. And he encouraged them with these words. A time is coming, and these apply to us as well, of course. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Very encouraging words for us, I think, in this day and age. So, you'll see I've asked a few questions along here because I've been trying desperately, as ever, to push all my slides together and make them into a reasonable string of logical thought. I put questions in there to say, Graham, this is what the next slides are about. And hopefully you'll find that helpful. For those on the telling bone, this reads, so how has the coronavirus affected the world? In visual form, we have all of the aircraft of the world pretty much on the tarmac. We have, as we mentioned earlier, oil is in such easy supply at the moment. Supply is massively exceeding demand, which, if I remember back to my economic days at uni, it actually is going to take the price down. All the shoppers out there know if you've got lots of something, the price goes down. And we have got lots of oil at the moment, and it's very cheap. Then at the top there, Birmingham Airport's ground staff, for those that are from Birmingham, Karen and others, and Ralph, at Birmingham's airport, the groundsman cut out in the grass NHS in large letters on the grass as a tribute to the hospital staff and the medical staff in the UK for the work they've done. Well, the question we were asking, let's just remind ourselves, was, how has it affected the world? Obvious. Well, China has been buying up companies and virtually countries, sidling up to many countries in the Pacific, the Asian countries and Africa, making airports, military airports and landing strips out of nothing, reclaimed land right out in the middle of the Pacific. They've been expanding their influence politically. They're economically and militarily very strong. And but whether it's China or the US or any other country, they are not too strong for God. Excuse me. Flu-like symptoms. Okay. they're not too big for God, though if he wanted to, he could stop them right now. But all things are moving on God's timescales. For we don't specifically know what and when the time is, but Isaiah 2, and Isaiah, as you know, is full of wonderful kingdom chapters. They're very easy for people like me to spot in Isaiah, because they always start or have in them the verse or the chapter in that day. And it's naturally going to be excuse me, a millennium or a kingdom chapter. Here's one, Isaiah 2, where the nations go up to learn of Jesus. Wonderful chapter. We can't read it all. The Lord Almighty has a day in store for all the proud and lofty, for all that is exalted, and they will be humbled. And all the cedars of Lebanon, tall and lofty, the oaks of Bashan, the towering mountains, every tower and fortified wall, every trading ship, every stately vessel, every aeroplane, the arrogance of men will be brought low and human pride humbled. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. And the idols, materialism and leisure and sport will totally disappear. I've poetically put in some stuff there, but you'll recognise, I'm sure. So, brethren, sisters and young people, for too long now, and I'm probably to blame as well, we have had a go where you want, when you want, for as little as possible. We've had buy what you want, when and where you want to get it, in as large a quantity as possible. And we've had pleasures, materialism and highs of one sort or another. Obviously, not the last ones there, but obviously there are things there that we can look at. Money and materialism have affected us all. And this is a time, isn't it, to take stock and see where we're going in life. Now, never miss an opportunity to talk about cricket. I just thought I'd go onto the BBC sports website, and pretty well, we won't read them all out, but pretty well every reference there, because there's no sport happening, is either to things like the Ashes, which was a draw, by the way, last year. A lot of Australians think that they won, but it was a draw. Obviously, the Ashes are retained here because England didn't win them back, but it was a DRAW. Now, all of the references there to sport are talking about players that may be unfit, or staff that are being lost in Formula One teams, or things that are happening, but no sport is being played. Every single reference there. In fact, I looked at the news the other day, and there was no reference. There were no references to things other than COVID-19. Now, God is always ahead of the game. He discovered in the, and he put it forward in the Mosaic laws, cleanliness and hand washing, and we've touched upon that in previous occasions. In the mid-1800s, cleanliness and hand washing was rediscovered as essential to stop the spread of disease. And before all the COVID-19 virus came and reared its ugly head, hospitals and doctor's surgeries were full posters and drawings saying wash your hands and how important they are. The Pharisees would have had an absolute field day in our time now, because they love washing their hands and isolating themselves from those in need. So we remember, though, in Psalm 24, in answer to the question, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The answer, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. Now, so all of these things we're looking, and I know that you're looking at them too. Whenever we look at hand washing, which is essential, I am an avid hand washer. I'm probably a bit obsessive compulsive. It's standing me in good stead at the moment. And I'm sure you're all practicing good hand hygiene as well. But more importantly than clean hands is allowing God to help us have clean hands spiritually and to help purify our hearts. And of course, he will have to make up the difference because none of us has a totally pure heart. That has to be done for us by the Lord Jesus Christ at baptism, ongoingly asking forgiveness. And it's something we cannot do of ourselves. By grace ye are saved, and that is not of your own doing. Now, you and I, we have a lot of senior brethren in our meeting, and I think you're quite a fit bunch, actually, particularly, don't embarrass him, but he's not in front of me, so I can, Joe Sproot, who I want to be like Joe when I grow up. He's a great swimmer, not at the moment, and he likes to keep fit. And my goodness, him and Jenny are very fit, and that's great. But we're talking now about immune system protection and building up by the foods we eat. And I think at Hyde Park, so I've had a number of discussions with people, we try and eat the right things, don't we? Plenty of fresh fruit, blah, blah, blah. But of course, again, there's the literal and the spiritual. We're most concerned, of course, better to get our spiritual life in order than, of course, our physical life. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So unless it's inspiring us to read our Bibles more, lots of exercise and walking, then it's not going to benefit us in the life to come. Reading the Word of God and talking about God and praying and meeting together, that's the way we're going to build ourselves up spiritually. But I just thought I'd pop that one in. Now, have you noticed, I think you probably have, the world can't stop itself using Bible language or symbols. The rainbow was, I think we've claimed back the rainbow, haven't we? Rainbows are now put in windows all over the world. This one's in the UK. Stay at home, be positive, be upbeat, and be positive and look on the bright side. We will get through this. There's another one, again, BBC website, coronavirus. The world risks biblical famines due to pandemic. And I think, again, Ali Mason mentioned that this morning. I said in an exhortation several weeks ago, I think it was about the last time we met together, actually, so maybe it was my fault. But I said that the world probably can't handle another really big thing. Well, at the moment, we're all just coping. And to be honest, we are mightily blessed in Australia. And I think sometimes we feel a bit embarrassed when we watch the television or look on the internet or listen to the radio. And all of the advertisers saying, we'll get through this, you know, stay positive. And I know people are lonely and I know people are losing their jobs, but we are alive. We're not losing 740 people a day. We have lost 74 in 3 months, and we're mightily blessed, as I said. But times are difficult, and financially, things are going to challenge us, I'm sure. JobKeeper change is demanded as businesses face Solomon-like choices about, you know, who they're going to keep on and who they're going to let go, etc. But there's another Bible reference. Now, I have to say that this young man here didn't perform very well when he was on holiday in Hawaii, was it, during the bushfires? But can we just say, good one, ScoMo. Scott Morrison, a triumph of unity is Scott Morrison's resurrection. Not very good English, but I think we know what they're trying to say. But the word resurrection is there. But the point is that Scott Morrison and his team have done a mighty job for this country, and we're very blessed to have them. We are, I think, a model for the world, and that's good. Now, you may have seen this picture coming up. Even the astronauts that have been away for over a year from NASA, even they know that there's a bad virus on the Earth. Here they are. I don't know why it's got two there. It should be three, shouldn't it? But two NASA astronauts and their friend said Friday they expect it will be tough returning to such a drastically changed world next week after more than a year at the International Space Station. Isolation. Wow. They've been in isolation in space, And they're going into isolation when they get back. Well, it's double isolation. Number one, so they're not carrying anything back with them, but also equally importantly this time, so they don't catch anything. Now, I don't know if you looked at this one. I haven't got my notes with me, so I'm going to have to try and remember it. This couple from Manchester, 2.5 years ago, set off from Manchester in the north west of England and to discover the world. Now, they said, we want to communicate with you, but we don't want to hear any bad news. So, you know, when they originally heard about the virus a few weeks ago, because people said, well, look, you might like to know there's a virus, before it all blew up, they didn't think anything of it. But when they docked in the port, I think it was in the Caribbean. I think it was Grenada or Granada, potato, potato. She is from Lombardy, which, as you probably know, is in northern Italy with its capital, Milan. Now, Lombardy is the epicenter or has been the epicenter of all the trouble in Italy. And so even though she'd been in the ultimate isolation for 2.5 years and hadn't been to Italy, I think they popped into Italy during that time, but she hadn't been to Italy for about a year. They said, well, you're going to have to go in isolation at the port. And when she explained to them that she hadn't been there for a year, they said, OK, we'll just waive that. But I just thought that's just an interesting story there just to pop in. Life's difficulties and challenges can bring out the best in people and wake us all up, painful though it be. And I thought you might just like to see this one. This is Piccadilly Circus, which in my day used to be, and here as well, used to be used as a euphemism for a really busy place. You know, oh, the shops or the traffic's like Piccadilly Circus, because it's a very busy intersection in London. That's what it usually looks like. Is what it looks like at the moment, because the Queen is offering words of encouragement here. We should take comfort that while we may have more still to endure, better days will return. Now, I think it was Harry Tennant at his funeral. The words were read out, the best is yet to come. Now, the Queen is a believer. You know, she makes that quite clear. But we certainly know that our brother Harry Tennant, the late brother Harry Tennant, shared our faith. He said, the best is yet to come, meaning the kingdom, obviously. And here she's saying that better days will return. So all of the leaders and all of the stateswomen and monarchs are lending their weight to encourage people along the way. Now, this is interesting. This is Britain again. More than half the British population barely say a word to their neighbours, according to a 2018 poll. 68% describe them as strangers. Birthday cards? 2/3 of us couldn't guess the ages of those living next door. And yet, online, we are apparently more connected than ever. That was 2 years ago. I think things have changed, because even though this is a comment on social media, which we've sort of been forced to do as opposed to meeting face to face. Now they're saying, and then we're doing the same here, let's make kindness go viral. Well, we say amen to that, don't we, brothers and sisters, young people? Let's spread love and kindness all around the world. Random acts of kindness, as we say. Thousands join social media campaign to help Britain's pensioners during self-isolation. But how do you safely care for an elderly neighbour? Well, we can discuss that afterwards. And so here's all the hand clapping that's gone on here and in other countries for the NHS, the National Health Service in the UK, which has been right up against it. Here are the words. He's looking a bit rough there, Boris, isn't he? But here are the words. And this is a beautiful speech that Boris Johnson did, and it had some humour in it, which I'll tell you about in a minute. Boris Johnson, who owes his life, make no mistake. I don't know if you heard him talk about Louis from Portugal, and Jenny from Invercargill in South Island, New Zealand, the two that stayed by him night and day, alternating through the night to make sure that his breathing was okay. What a wonderful sacrifice, and what a wonderful spiritual analogy for how God and the Lord Jesus look after us day and night, 24/7. And so Boris I love him. I love Boris. He's wonderful. A fight we never picked against an enemy we still don't entirely understand. By the way, as an aside, they reckon that the virus may stay in the air and infectious for up to 12 hours is the latest. A fight we never picked against an enemy we still don't entirely understand. We're making progress in this national battle because the British public formed a human shield, and so did the Australian public here, around this country's greatest national asset, our National Health Service. We understood and we decided that if together we could keep our NHS safe, if we could stop our NHS from being overwhelmed, then we would not be beaten. And this country would rise together and overcome this challenge as we have overcome so many challenges in the past. That is why, and oh my goodness, these words are so poignant, because with the help of God and the National Health Service and those nurses, he says, that is why we will defeat this coronavirus. He speaks from experience, and defeat it together. We will win because our NHS is the beating heart of this country. It is the best of this country. It is unconquerable. It is powered by love. What words from a national leader, Prime Minister Boris Johnson, top man. And so we're realizing, aren't we, that nurses are right up there with the important jobs and roles. And of course, we've got our own sister as well, Georgie, who is doing such a great job right in at the coalface. All human beings are equal. Anyone can get the virus, rich or poor, young or old. The parallel for us spiritually is that anybody, young, old, male, female, Jew, Greek, slave or free, can have the gospel preached to them and take it up. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as the testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Although the bad news of the virus is spreading around the world, the good news of the kingdom is spreading around the world too. And guess what? It's stronger. So, in my little old lifetime, you've probably got other days as well. Those that are young, you've now got one event that changed the world, which is this wretched COVID virus. Brave new world we're in, aren't we? I can still remember seeing one tower on fire, and another one, another plane. You see that plane there going into the second tower. And if you'd have said, look, Hollywood, we've got the idea for a film. One of the World Trade Center Twin Towers is going to fall because a plane crashes into it. And then another one comes a few minutes later. They'd say, don't be stupid. But then the scriptwriter would say, hold on, we haven't finished yet. One went into a forest and killed all those on board in Pennsylvania. And the other one went into the Pentagon. They said, right, forget it. Come back when you've got a realistic script. Well, there have been films about pandemics in the past. This one, this time it's real. And this is the day. I mean, we had changes in boarding planes and carrying things on planes, etc. at 9/11. But I can tell you that this will change the world and how we operate in many ways, some of them for good. Maybe as Emirates passengers realised the other day, they have to go COVID blood tests to check. But I think really this is the way. I said this a few weeks ago and they listened to me. I'm joking. I think there's going to be some sort of passport or a tourist certificate or visa we're going to have to prove that we are healthy. But of course, all you have to do is go on a plane you will be possibly in the company of those that have the virus. So as soon as you've got your certificate to say you're free of the virus, you may have it. Now, the important spiritual aspect here is that our citizenship is in heaven. In Christ, we are given a passport to the kingdom of God. It's not on merit, it's by grace. And you and I in Christ, and I'm sure that many are thinking seriously about things at the moment and they're standing with Christ, we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. What a blessing. Philippians 3, verse 20. And it's important, just at the bottom there, skipping through, that we are wise unto salvation, because that's what these things should be telling us, that we should be wise unto salvation. Now, we can't go through all those, but there's various companies, as we said, studying anti-malaria drugs, inflammatory arthritis, tuberculosis, BCG, and all sorts of other. The Galilee Research Institute spent the last 4 years looking at avian coronavirus, infectious bronchitis with adjustments. That's right in the zone, isn't it? And with adjustments, that could be ready in weeks, they say. So what they're trying to do, as you know, I'm sure, is try and roughly get a virus and then just take a hit on producing that virus in production, vaccine in production-like quantities alongside the testing. Very risky, because if the vaccine is successful, have to throw it all away. But the wonderful thing is that our Lord Jesus in Malachi is spoken about, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. And that's what we're looking for, isn't it? Interesting, there's a lot about crowds at the moment a lack of crowds, really. No crowds, please. No meetings of more than, 20, 10, etc. But the Lord Jesus, not only he had to move away sometimes and get some energy and some peace, but most of the time he was thronged by the crowds. And interestingly, we're trying to keep away from crowds to avoid getting illnesses. In Jesus' day, he went right towards the people in the crowd who were the sickest and the most contagious, with things like leprosy. And that's where he would be today, right in the midst, helping. And that's where he is today for us, whether we're infected or not. The crowds were aware of this and followed him and welcomed them. He began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and caring for those who had need of healing. So I think both Trump and Boris have been speaking about this common enemy, this unseen enemy. Well, sorry to go back. We are all of us fighting an unseen enemy. Some of its effects can be seen in the form of sin. We can see the way that different countries are restricting movement and crowds and responding differently. The most draconian and heavy-handed policing is, of course, in the Philippines, as you can imagine, where their crazy leader has ordered shoot-to-kill policies for those who break curfew rules. A bit ironic that you're trying to save people's lives, but you're actually shooting people. So, again, pretty crazy. We could talk about the economic benefits, economic challenges at the face of the depression with a big D, not only depression in people's lives, but depression economically. The world faces the worst depression since 1930s, which, as you remember, led eventually to, in part, to the Second World War. So the International Monetary Fund has said that this could plunge us into a really massive crisis. And there it is again. Okay, we're going to have to just move along. So just get your blinkers out. Now, this is interesting because, again, I know I'm always banging on about mutations in my creation talks, but this is a real life example because at the top there with the red dot next to it, in a strange way, mankind still worships the god of random mutation, natural selection, and it's called evolution. That is where we got the coronavirus from. It probably came from a pangolin in Malaysia and was transferred to a bat, we're told, and then that went I think it's called zoonomically, where it transfers from animal to man. And that's where all the trouble started. You and I, we don't worship that God, the mutation God. We worship the God of design, because the mutations are part of the curse. We worship the God of design and purpose, where mutations, part of this curse, are not a force for good change. We'll skip that one. Okay, so this guy's interesting. He's actually, you've seen him before, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus. I think is probably not how you say his name. But he's actually from Eritrea, just near Ethiopia. And interestingly, as well as being the face of the World Health Organization, and you'll see their logo, which you can see that there. I'm going to put that clearly in a minute. But the World Health, we'll go there now, actually. He's actually a world-recognized malaria researcher, as well as being the head of the World Health Organization, who Trump and others are criticizing at the moment. Interestingly, you'll remember in the Old Testament, in the wilderness, that when the children of Israel were bitten by the serpent, to denote the sting of sin, the fatal sting of sin, they had to look at a dead serpent on a pole to heal them from the bite of the snake. And of course, as you can see just there, there is the pole and there's the snake as the a wonderful sign on the World Health Organization. I think it's on other medical symbols as well. But it reminds us, doesn't it, in Acts 4, verse 12, that salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. It's absolutely incredible. Someone said the other day, so Jesus was the snake on the pole who people looked to. And I said, yes, because Jesus took on the form of sin, even though he was sinless and perfect. That's the love that he had for us. So in this crisis that we're in at the moment, there is going to be no all clear. There's going to be a new norm, because we can't check all 7.7 billion people of the world every day, every week, every month. We can't even check them at all. There are billions in the world that will be won't have the test done, and maybe we'll be amongst them. You could be clear on a Monday and your symptoms come in later in the week. So it's a moving feast we're in, isn't it? And it's got the leaders of the world concerned. There's Scott Morrison at the top of a ship. This virus could change the way we live for many years, not months. And we think of Noah, what he must have thought as he had to shut the door on those that didn't believe in God. So we have thinking time, thinky things, that wonderful book by Brother Robert Prins, I think he's from New Zealand, the wonderful comments and meditations he has for us. We've got some serious time at the moment to think about what and where our spiritual lives are. Ephesians 1 tells us, I keep asking, this is Paul speaking, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. And so we're getting to know that hope better, aren't we? There is always a practical point, a take-home message for reflection in all the scriptures that we read. I love that phrase, last day scoffers. Are we last day scoffers? Well, we're certainly eating more in isolation, aren't we? But hopefully we're walking more. I notice there's a lot more people out there walking and cycling. That's probably just about the only thing you can do. But because of the last days, people were saying, where is his coming? You know, is he ever going to come? But we are told, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? So whatever the scripture that we have, whatever is happening in our world, we always have to look to our hearts and ourselves and say, as a result of what's happening in my life, in the world, in my family, what kind of people ought I to be? What kind of person ought I to be? living holy and godly lives, it says, waiting for the promised new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells. And then right at the bottom there, and this is the reason, by the way, that Jesus has not returned yet. This is the reason why God has not sent him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. The reason why is that God hasn't filled the ark yet. So I'm just getting something sorted there. So this wonderful picture that we've got showing of a little girl pointing a water pistol, which obviously they won't have in the millennium, but there's a reading here from Zechariah 8. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem. Not many people on the streets at the moment, but the time will come. Each of them with cane in hand because of their age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. So it'll be a wonderful time of peace and safety. At the moment, people are, like this this photograph shows, and I'm showing a balcony shot from the streets of Italy, where they're beautifully singing to each other across the streets with, you know, all sorts of instruments. Tutto andrà bene, which is everything will be all right. And Italy in particular has taken a big hit. Bit ironic, really, because as I'm sure you know, the number 40 in Italian is quaranta, of course, where we got the word quarantine from. And there's so much stuff around at the moment that is so relevant for us. Quarantine, of course, was introduced. God got there first, of course, as he always does. But quarantine was introduced secondarily after God's time in the children of Israel. It was introduced in the times when in the 1800s, 1700s, 1800s, when ships used to arrive in Venice from offshore missions and trading missions, and they used to have to stay off the coast for 40 days in case they picked up nasty bugs. And there we are, Venice in Italy, as well as other places in Italy, taking a bit of a hit at the moment, isn't it, as we know. So what is next for our world? I thought this one was good. COVID stands for Christ over virus, infection and death. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins and will heal their land. It's wonderful, isn't it? In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, the ignorance that the world has been showing. He now commands all people everywhere to repent. He's set a day when he will judge the world. I think we had that one earlier. And the proof is that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Okay, we're going to have to jump. Maybe can I have about 5 more minutes, Joe? If you can hear me. I didn't hear him, but I'm sure he said yes. Now, this is interesting. You'll remember here's another one. Just as by one man came death into the world, Adam, so one man came life into the world, Lord Jesus Christ, destroying the last enemy, death, in the process. But by one man, coronavirus came into the world as well. And yet they're so contrasting, aren't they? But do you remember back to the bushfire days? You've got one house here that's saved, two here that were taken, and one that was saved. And it just reminded me a little bit of the times in the Passover, where if you didn't paint with a sprig of hyssop the blood of the lamb, the literal baby lamb you keep in your house for a week, then your sins were not passed over, and the angel of death took you. Just like, I'm not saying that, you know, people deserve to lose their houses in a bushfire, of course not, but interesting, houses next door to each other, one is taken, one's left. Same way with the children of Israel. And the same way with the coronavirus. Some people get it, some people carry it and don't even know they've got it. Others have a terrible time, young or old. But you and I, This is a beautiful picture, this, isn't it? It's a picture of a horse up to its body, top of its legs, in snow. Purge me with hyssop. And that reference in Exodus, where they painted the blood of the lamb around the doorpost and the lintels, that's the first mention of the word hyssop. This is the man David saying, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Again, we're talking a lot about cleaning and washing. This is spiritual cleanliness. Clean and washed as only God can wash us. So, just moving towards the last couple of slides now. Thank you for your patience. And it's been a surreal experience because I have no contact at all. I haven't even got my wife pointing to a watch, but I'm sure she's doing that in another room. But I've got a slide here of the world with a fragile sticker on it. God has told us that as truly as he lives, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. So let's try and keep our spirits up. Our world is being battered. As Brother Ben Pitcher said the other day, maybe we're okay at the moment, but there's a lot of people in the world who need the return of Jesus. And we know also that Ari's family at the moment, they are suffering at the moment with the uncertainty of ill health, and we pray for them. Look, I'm just going to, I think, end on this, actually. Just want to, isn't he a wonderful man, Andrea Bocelli? He's singing here. I can see Joe coming up to the microphone now. Just 1 minute, Joe, and I will be there. I just want to play this, pieces from this wonderful, if I can get it on my phone, Amazing Grace. And it's just so poignant, and to seeing this wonderful man, Andreas Bocelli, singing and the words, I was blind, but now I see. So I want to end this message to you that the grace of God is what we stand in, and that's our hope. So hopefully this will come out okay. Otherwise, I'll hand over to you, Joe. Just give me a couple of seconds, please.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.